Although the hearing didn't reveal much new information that wasn't already announced by Secretary Robert Gates earlier this month, it did give committee members a chance to vent some of their frustrations with the efficiency savings initiative, both with specific elements of the $100 billion in savings that will be reinvested in the services and the $78 billion that will go into federal deficit reduction. Committee Chairman Buck McKeon.
The reduction of an additional $78 billion from the department's funding top line caught this committee by surprise. And we intend to pursue the impact of this decision by the administration. We've asked much of our men and women in uniform over the years. They've bravely fought and sacrificed for all of us, each and every one of us in this room. And I cannot in good conscience ask them to do more with less.
The notion of being blindsided by information from DOD was a common theme in the hearing. Republican Todd Akin, the new chairman of the Sea Power and Projection Forces Subcommittee, was more blunt.
This month, we receive like a CC on a general press release to the public that we've made all of these unilateral decisions. We had no idea a bunch of them were even coming. My concern is that you are trying to make, or you have inadvertently made this committee irrelevant because you're not keeping us in the loop. And that's unacceptable, at least to me as a subcommittee chair, and I believe I may speak for a few other members of this committee. And I don't think this committee will tolerate being left out of the process of decision-making. So we will have our hearings, and we will look into those decisions, and the decisions that we think are poor, we will not be shy about explaining why we think those are poor decisions. I think it is in your best interest to use us as part of your team to help you do your jobs. I think it's foolish to ignore us.
Another area of dissatisfaction at the hearing was the lack of transparency in DOD's finances. Virginia Republican Randy Forbes grilled Deputy Secretary Lynn on audit-ready financial statements.
You're the chief management officer of the Department of Defense. Is it your testimony today that you do not know how many were filed, or are you testifying that two agencies did file?
I'm going to have to provide the exact
number. I'll tell you it was nine. How about in 2008?
Well, 2008, I wasn't at the department.
Do you know whether any financial statements
were
filed?
I doubt.
There were none.
I think it would have been any.
How about 2009?
I think the same answer.
How about 2010?
I believe the same answer.
Do you know how many will be filed in 2011?
The same.
What percentage of the $700 billion budget in the Department of Defense will be an audit-ready posture for 2011? That is, that we could even be capable of auditing.
I don't think any, sir.
Forbes says DOD can't reasonably talk about achieving efficiencies until it comes up with stronger accounting mechanisms. As to specific issues, McKeon says he's especially troubled by the idea of reducing end strengths of the Army and Marine Corps starting in 2015 and 2016.
I will not support any measures that stress our forces and jeopardize the safety of our men and women in uniform. I will oppose also any plans that have the potential to damage or endanger our national security. Most concerning about the efficiencies initiative are the plans to reduce the Army and Marine Corps end strength and to implement even deeper cuts beyond the initial $100 billion goal.
Deputy Secretary Lynn says the cuts in end strength are necessary if the department is going to get to a zero real growth budget in 2015 and 2016. He and the service chief say that shouldn't be a problem, however, since they expect commitments in Iraq and Afghanistan to be significantly reduced by then. Army Vice Chief of Staff Peter Chiarelli says the service chiefs support that drawdown.
The secretary has put on the table three critical assumptions that must be met. First, that we're out of Iraq. We see the drawdown in Afghanistan taking place, and we do not see the commitment of land forces in any other theater. So this is reversible planning that could be reversed if conditions change. We realize the need to balance the force. I don't want to pay for a whole bunch of people and not have any money for procurement accounts.
Another specific area of Gates' proposed savings is the idea of raising TRICARE health premiums on working-age military retirees. Congress has expressly refused to do that for the past several years. They haven't gone up for 15 years. If freshman Virginia Republican Scott Rigel is an indicator, the appetite for it hasn't much changed. He says lifetime health care is a promise that the country has made to service members.
Every person who is enlisted in the military, they did so and they served believing they would get lifetime care. And I would ask the department to re-examine that and to set that aside as a possible option to address our fiscal problems.
Lynn's response.
The TRICARE proposal simply would lift the freeze, which I don't think was part of the promise, that they would have fees frozen at the 1995 level. If you don't rise with inflation, essentially the benefit improves every year.
Several of the committee members also expressed concern about the Marine Corps' cancellation of the Expeditionary Fighting Vehicle, a topic that took up a good portion of the hearing. Marines Vice Commandant Joseph Dunford told the committee that the ballooned cost of the vehicles from $5 million apiece in 1995 to $17 million now is a figure that would eat up excessive chunks of the Marines' procurement accounts. Despite a lot of dissatisfaction, mostly among GOP members, about the efficiency plan, there were some favorable remarks. The committee's ranking Democrat, Adam Smith, called the proposal courageous.
Wasting money anywhere in our budget, even in the Department of Defense, does not make us safer, does not protect our troops, and does not enhance our national security. In fact, it does just the opposite. So this committee and you gentlemen, as well as everyone at the Pentagon, have an obligation not just to spend the money, but to make sure we're spending it efficiently and effectively. And I really want to applaud Secretary Gates and the others at the DOD for stepping up to that very difficult challenge.
And as to the complaints about DOD's working relationship with Congress, Lynn pledged to try to alleviate those concerns.
I did get the flavor of the comments and the breadth of them. I will say, I think the department recognizes that not all wisdom is south of the Potomac River, and that Congress has often been right in these debates. So I take your comments seriously, and we'll endeavor to work with the committee, and we very much appreciate the committee's support.
I'm Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.